Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. This evening we're going to be looking at the pig sector, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by the IFA's National Pig Committee Chairman, Pat O'Flaherty.
Thanks for joining us this evening. If we can start off maybe by talking about a topic that comes up quite frequently, and it's the whole issue of labelling and the origin of where much of our produce comes from. And this has been a particularly big issue for pork and poultry down through the years, and indeed recently you have highlighted a number of things that are certainly of concern.
Absolutely. I suppose the biggest issue we have at the moment is that there tends to be a lot of pork and bacon imports that are not being labelled correctly. What that means is that when butchers in particular have product on their shelves, they should state where it comes from, the country of origin, and it can't be abbreviated. It has to be the full country name, as in Denmark or Holland or Spain or wherever it's from.
Now, this seems to be an issue that has been around for as long as I can remember. Have we made advances in recent years? Have things tightened up in terms of legislation?
Well, since the 1st of April this year, yes, there has new legislation has come into play. But the problem with the new legislation is that it doesn't go far enough. For example, it doesn't cover loose pork. It doesn't cover any processed meat. In other words, if there's salt added, in other words, bacon, it doesn't cover that at all. So it doesn't really go far enough. Now, in fairness to our own Minister for Agriculture, he is looking at going further than the EU regs state, and that's been looked at the moment, and hopefully he will go a bit further, because bacon in particular, they're full joints of meat. They're not a processed meat in the strict sense of the word. So we're looking for proper labelling on all pork and bacon joints and all pork and bacon products.
So for many consumers who go down to their supermarket or to the butcher's at the moment and they're getting a pound or half a kilo of rashers, as we should say nowadays, there is confusion there, because, you know, they're taking people's at their word, and you don't really know where things are coming from. So if I go into and there's a display of bacon there, is there a requirement that there should be a label in a butcher's counter?
Yeah, as I said, if it's pre-packed product in particular, so in other words, if it's in a packed tray with a cover on it, well, then it should be, even if it's pork, it should be labelled as the country of origin, where it's from. I suppose the best advice I could give the consumer is to buy where they see the Board Be A logo, and in particular, if they see it on pork and bacon products, they're the products that they know are definitely Irish. Anything else, they'd have to question the butcher on.
Well, now, before we came on air, I actually went to my fridge at home, and I took out the bacon in the packet, and there was the Board Be A mark, and origin, country of origin was Ireland, and it was pretty clear, all right. But there are cases of bacon being imported into this country and being repackaged here, and it might have a nice label on it that looks like a green field from Ireland, but that is certainly not always the case.
Yeah, it's true, Chris. What they tend to do is, exactly as you said, they tend to use Irish-sounding names and all those different methods of trying to, you know, pass off, I suppose, product as Irish when it's not. But the best thing, as I said, the consumer can do is one, only buy the product with the Board Be A logo on it. And number two is, if you're buying in a butcher and it's loose product, ask them exactly where it comes from and ask them to prove where it comes from.
You recently had a campaign down the country, and you looked at a number of butchers' shops and went to supermarkets and shopping centres, and some of the findings were quite surprising, I take.
Yeah, we were very disappointed. There was a number of butchers' shops, one chain in particular, where they had a number of shops, and we actually couldn't find any Irish products, pork or bacon, in the shop. I think there may have been a few sausages, and that was about the height of it, and they claimed they were Irish. But no, and they have signs up then with the supporting local suppliers and supporting Irish suppliers, green, white and gold flags, all the rest of it. But when you dig down a little bit deeper, unfortunately, we found that it wasn't the case. And we met with the managing director of the company, and he said he's going to change, and hopefully he will.
Now, is it a carrot and stick approach, or if somebody does that, can they be fined, or can action be taken against them? Because after all, they are misleading the public.
Well, they were doing more than that, actually, because they hadn't got the full country spelt out. In other words, if it's from Spain, you must put S-P-A-I-N on the pack. E-S, which is what they had on, isn't enough. And, that's not legal to do that. You have to have the full country of origin on it, and it has to be clearly labelled and in a font that can be read. So there was different issues. But look, I'm trying to work with them. We're trying to work with the different butchers, and I'd ask the butchers, to put up signs in the shop stating that the pork and bacon is Irish. And that's the best way that a butcher who is genuinely using and buying Irish product can tell his customers that it is Irish. Put a sign up saying, all my pork and bacon is Irish. It doesn't cost them a whole pile of money. It doesn't cost them anything, in fact, other than for the sign. So I'd ask them to do that. And I think that will clarify the situation for the guys who are trying to pass off a product as Irish when it's blatantly not.
And I think it's fair to say that the vast majority of people, when they go in, do want to buy Irish produce.
I think, to be fair to the consumers, and I must thank all consumers, because they have been brilliant down through the years. In all of the things being equal, they'll always buy Irish. They've always supported the Irish products. And at the end of the day, they know that, it might be their cousin or their neighbour or their relative has a job in the industry, and it helps us all. And if we all work together, we're out the far side of the recession now, and hopefully and things can move on. But if we all work together, I think that's the way we should do it. And that would include the butchers too. I'd like to see them supporting Irish. And I mean, you see advertisements, support your local butcher. Well, that's great. And I would support my local butcher, but he should support his local farmer, be he a pig farmer, a poultry farmer, or beef or dairy or whatever it is.
Now, there must be some reasons why they are bringing in the imported produce. One of them, I presume, is price. But in terms of what you get for your money, you would be quite confident in saying that, if anything, you maybe get better value buying the Irish produce.
You do, because there's a number of reasons for that. One of the reasons is that we don't use as much water in the meat when you're producing bacon as they do on the continent, which means you're buying more water when you bring in product from the continent. And that's just their rules. Their rules are slightly different to ours. We don't allow that here. And again, in particular, if you buy the Board PA logo product, they have strict rules and regulations as to how it should be handled.
Now, we hear a lot about bacon and curling up, and you've mentioned there the water content. On the plus side of things, and perhaps a growth area, the traditionally cured bacon and sort of the old style, and there can be a premium price there.
That's right. Another good tip for consumers is to buy the dry cured bacon. If you buy the dry cured, there's no water added to that product, and it's a far more firmer product, and it might be a little bit dearer on paper, but in value for money terms, it's far better value.
Now, looking at the pig sector in general and the pig man and the prices at the moment, how do things stand vis-a-vis, say, this time last year or 3 years ago?
Well, unfortunately, from this time last year, we're back about €25 a pig, and what we were getting this time last year, and that's a massive drop in 12 months. And on the negative side then as well, grain prices are higher than they were this time last year. So we're getting a double whammy at the moment. And it's a situation that you see protests across Europe where there's absolute pandemonium with farmers going berserk because of raw material prices are not even breaking even. And that can't be good for anybody in the economy.
So for the pig producer, are we close to a stage that people are seriously considering whether to stay in the sector?
I know a number of people who in the last number of weeks and months have exited the sector because they can't make money. They can't keep going with prices being so depressed, and raw material prices, feed in particular, going up. And that's 80% of a pig farmer's cost is feed. And if his feed goes up and his pig price is down, well, you don't need a master's in economics to work out that he's going to lose money. He can't continue.
I'm speaking with Pat O'Flaherty, the IFA National Pig Committee Chairman. Over the years, Pat, the industry has consolidated like many others, and great efficiencies as well. And counties like Donegal, the number of producers has contracted quite considerably. And those who have stayed in the sector have had to invest an awful lot of money.
They have, in particular. particular, I suppose, with regulations last January last year, where we had to have all fowls loose, put a huge burden of cost on pig farmers, and again, no return for that. You had to do that, or you couldn't stay in the business, and the department made sure that those rules and regulations were enforced. But the problem for the pig farmers, he got no return on the investment that he made, and that was a very difficult time for us.
Now, before we came in here, we were talking about just the different sectors within farming and beef and dairy and pigs, and it may be a surprise to some people just how important the pig sector is in terms of its contribution to the whole economy.
Yeah, the in terms of agricultural output, I mean, number one is beef, number two is dairy, but number three is pigs. I think that comes as a surprise to a huge number of people in the country, but it's a massive industry. It's you know, there's 8,000 jobs in the pig and pork industry and ancillary industries, so that they're a massive employer, and 50% of what we produce is exported, and that's a huge plus to the economy.
Just going back to earlier on and the imports, the bacon that is coming into the country, what countries does this tend to come from?
A lot of it comes from Denmark, Holland, and I've seen a lot of pork coming in recent months, in particular from Spain. You know, I often query how they can take in pork in particular from Spain, bring it all the way in here, when their prices are probably higher than ours, and then they seem to sell it cheaper here. It just amazes me how they're able to do that. And if people are wondering how we're able to check this out, we don't actually follow the labels. We can actually trace the whether the product is Irish or not, be it pork or bacon, by a DNA system which we have established over the past number of years. And we can take a piece of meat, whether it's cooked or raw, and we can determine whether it's of Irish origin or if it's not.
Well, we live in a very open economy. We import a lot, we export a lot. In terms of the pig sector here and exports, where is Irish produce generally going?
Irish product goes all over the world, to be honest. And that's why I never complain about us competing with imports. What I do complain about is product not being labelled properly. That's the only complaint I would have. I don't complain about exports at all or imports because, as you said, we live in an open economy. That's the way the thing develops and that's the way it is. But depending on what part of the pig, for example, ribs go to America, bellies could go to Korea, backs and loins go to Australia. We sell the product into Korea. We send Japan, China, all over the world. So it could end up anywhere depending on what piece of the meat it is. But the pig generally gets split up and it goes all into different directions.
The government has made a big play about the potential for the country to produce more food, and we have the Food Harvest 2020 programme there. Looking at the pig sector, how much scope is there for further expansion in the next 5, 10, 15 years?
There is potential to expand, but the whole nub of the problem is that there must be a fair return for producers. And, you know, that's where we're coming from at the end of the day. You see, the dairy guys are in terrible problems now at the moment where they're having to sell milk at below cost of production. And when you compare those figures with what the margins other people along the chain are making, it's not fair. I do understand that it's difficult for everybody in business nowadays. Its margins are tight, but at least they have a margin. If you're selling something below the cost of production, that's unsustainable and it's not equitable.
And finally, Pat, you know, looking ahead, challenges there for the pig sector, but overall, would you be fairly optimistic for the pig man out there?
I would hope that, you know, if the consumer continues to support us, and I believe that they will, and I think if the shops and butchers label their products properly and fairly, I think that, yes, we have a future, but it means us all working together. And I'd like to work with butchers. I'd like to work with small shops. We're already doing that with the larger supermarkets, and we've a good handle on what they do. But I'd like to extend that down to the smaller guys and get all work together and produce a product that we're all proud of and is 100% Irish.
Pat O'Flaherty there, joining me on the line, the chairman of the IFA National Pig Committee. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices first. Steers are down, making €4.25 a kilo. Heifers €4.35 a kilo. And U-grade bulls €4.35 a kilo as well. R-grade cows €3.90 to €4 a kilo. Sheep prices, spring lamb €5 a kilo up to 21.5 kilos. And ewes making €2.80 to €3 a kilo. Well, that's just about it for this edition of Farming News and Views. From me, Chris Ashmore, have a very good evening.